You're listening to The Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, back to the show with local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome back to The Money Hour with your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, right here at 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, February 4th show. I've built a network of elite industry professionals, each week sharing their knowledge and expertise with you, my listeners. If you're hearing my show at a different time or day, you are listening to a rebroadcast. To talk with myself or any guests that are in studio today, please call the show at 1-855-400-1150. Again, that's 1-855-400-1150 or online at themoneyhour.com. In studio right now, I have Aaron Hendon with Christine and Company and Keller Williams. Aaron, first time coming in and having a chance to chat with you in studio. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, Tina. I'm really excited to be here.
And a little bit about Aaron. Aaron is Seattle realtor, real estate investor, author, educator, and speaker. He's a managing partner of Christine and Company and Seattle Magazine, awarded five-star real estate agent, winning team for the past 5 years, and individual rising star in the Seattle real estate winner this year. Bringing together a diverse background in history, including transformational leadership, entrepreneur, startups, and traditional cold calling sales, Aaron and his team consistently outperform the local market, selling homes for over 5% more than local market averages. So I think it's exciting to hear about that. I mean, if you've got numbers and backing statistics to show what amazing job that you're doing out there in the market, and that's kind of what our conversation is a little bit about today, is the consequences of working with the wrong realtor. So when selecting a real estate agent, the numbers do that people normally focus on, and what numbers should they focus on instead? So what are you saying that they put their focus on and where it should be?
Well, I think a lot of times when you talk to a realtor and you ask them how their business is, or you talk to realtors, they'll talk about the number of units they've sold, or they'll talk about the volume of the units, right? How much all those houses were worth. I sold 60 units this year, or that was for $30 billion or whatever. And I think to a certain extent, it matters. I mean, you want to know that the person sells enough houses that they're productive, that they're doing it full time. Mm-hmm. But why is that important to me as the consumer, how much money you made? That's not the number that matters to me. I think the number that people would be better off asking is, they'd be better off asking the question, what's important to me as the seller?
Okay.
What's important to me as a seller is generally when confronted with actually asking that question, they generally come up with, I want to sell my house for the most money in the least amount of time.
Yes.
Probably with the least hassle to me, right? Mm-hmm. Throw that in. Okay, then you should ask the person you're interviewing, all right, well, relative to the market, how much over asking price do you sell houses for? And compared to the local market averages, how many days are you on market? You know, how is your performance consistent with reaching my goal? Not, yay, you sold 100 units, yay, you. But how does that impact me as the consumer? And I think that's the question people want to ask. The number they want to know is, How much over asking price are houses going for in this market, and how do you do relative to that? And how many days on market average are houses on market?
Yeah.
And how do you do compared to that?
Makes sense. So, Aaron, the real cost working with the wrong realtor, how would you answer that question?
Well, if you just take our example of 5% over, and median price in this market is $500,000, more or less, a little bit more than that, but that's a $25,000 difference. That's one thing. And I can't imagine that anyone who's been, you know, following the market or looking at houses regularly doesn't see houses that have sat there for 30 days, 40 days. And you wonder, why is that house sat there for that long, or what happened there? And that every month someone's paying mortgage, every month someone's paying the insurance and all that stuff, and now they're not going to get the full value of the house because it's 60 days old and it looks stale. So the real cost of working with the wrong realtor is in dollars and cents, and it $10,000 here and $10,000 there to butcher a phrase, and pretty soon you're talking about real money.
Yeah, makes sense. It adds up quickly. So let's talk about interviewing for a real estate agent, because we know, being in the industry, and I know on the mortgage side as well, there's not a lot of interviewing that goes on to really sit down and ask the right questions and find out if that person's going to be right. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think there's a context that people operate in that they're, like all context, it's invisible. You can't really see it. And, you know, sort of the analogy I use as a man in this culture, if I go get my car if I take my car into the shop and the guy tells me that the serpentine belt needs to be tightened, I don't have permission to say, I don't know what a serpentine belt is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a man. I'm supposed to know that. I'm just supposed to know what a serpentine belt is. I don't know why I'm supposed to know that. I mean, fine. I think people think they're supposed to know things about houses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they watch a ton of HGTV and they see this stuff and they think they're just supposed to know.
Mm-hmm.
And so consequently, they don't ask because people would rather, you know, like I said, drink hot lava than look stupid. And mm-hmm. rather than ask questions, they just nod and smile and they take their cousin's best friend's nephew's aunt who's a realtor and uh-huh. that's good, or they met that nice guy at the open house, they're good, or that guy on Redfin looks nice and he's got a lot of stars next to his uh-huh. name, let's just pick him,
yeah,
because we don't know what to ask anyway, and how are we going to find out?
Yeah, so really interviewing and making sure that you know the questions that you need to ask to find out if that's going to be the right person to represent you in such a huge purchase.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about discount brokers and discounted companies. Not to completely take that away from a company, because every company has a way that they do business, but mm-hmm. why might not that be the right thing or the right company to go with? Or trying to negotiate someone's commission down to pay less. What would be...
Yeah, those are two great questions. And just handle them separately for a second, because... So discounts in general, I mean, you know, I was in sales for many, many years and, discounts in general, not real estate, in mm-hmm. business. Real estate is not particular like this. A discount, almost always, and I can't think of a case where it's not one of these two things, a discount either indicates that the product itself will not garner full price in the marketplace.
Oh, hi.
Somehow the quality of mm-hmm. it is not sufficient to gather full price. That's why you offer a discount, or mm-hmm. you're going to make it up on volume.
Got it.
One or the other, like Costco. Nothing wrong with Costco volume,
mm-hmm.
right? And Costco products, but they
sure.
make less money per unit because they sell yep. so many more units.
Mm-hmm.
There's no really other reason why you would give a discount
mm-hmm.
other than you either couldn't get full price or you had so many of the units you were going to make it up. And when you get a discount broker, I think you're getting someone who, look, obviously I'm biased, so hello, you know, I'm a full price broker, so you take this with a grain of salt, mm-hmm. but look, if someone could get 3%, they'd go out and get 3%. If that person's yeah. charging 1.5%, you got to be really clear, why would they not get 3% if they could?
Sure. Normally I say discounted price equals discounted service
in
a normal situation. So let's talk about negotiation and, you know, trying to negotiate your realtor's commission.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, if someone negotiates their realtor's commission down, generally they're pretty happy with themselves, but no one's really thought it through because that person just, you know, they went from 3% to 2%. Yeah, you got a percent.
Mm-hmm.
But that's you who doesn't, you know, if you're average buyer seller, you sell a house once every 10 years. You don't do this every day. You just negotiated with someone who theoretically does this every day, and you just beat them in a negotiation.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations. Now you're going to have pay that person 2% to represent your interests against someone who does this every day.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were able to negotiate them down for their money, I think they're going to have a pretty good, you could bet they're going to negotiate your money away pretty quick too.
Sure, got
so
it.
You get, you know, you got to look at it. I'm not saying don't ask.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying watch how that negotiation goes. Because
yes.
if you got it really easy, I promise you they're going to give away your money really easy when the time comes.
Yeah, got it. So why might it not be the best plan always in choosing an agent by looking at how many signs that they have out?
Well, I think
in the market.
Yeah, I mean, because so much of marketing in general is mind share, right? And
mm-hmm.
and the way realtors work is mind share. I mean, way any business works, not
uh-huh.
just realtors. You know, if they can capture mind share, they win. You know, if you name a potato chip, it's Lay's. If you name a shoe, it's Nike. If
mm-hmm.
you name toothpaste, it's Crest. It's mind share. So by putting up signs all over the place, right? People, you know, they see ads in the newspaper and they see signs up in the yard, and that's what they need to do to get the mind share. But
mm-hmm.
in the meantime, it still doesn't answer the fundamental question, is that person actually performing better?
Sure.
Because if nobody interviewed them, that mm-hmm. just means they won the mind share game, and it doesn't indicate anything really other than they got there first. And that's the one thing that people, that realtors count on, is that 85%, somewhere between 70 and 85% of people will hire the first realtor they talk to. And so the realtors are incentivized to be fast. Not good.
Yes.
But fast. Mm-hmm. So if they get there first, they're going to win. And if they have enough mind, and which also incentivizes them to overprice your list. If you think your house is worth $500,000 and they think your house is worth $450,000, they're incentivized to go ahead and take the listing because now their sign is in their yard, in your yard, and they're there first in the mind of all the people that drive by and all the people that call. And whether your house sells or not at the price they agreed to, they've already got business from your listing, even not selling. So it's the best bet would be for you to treat the home sale, your home sale or your home purchase, like a business. And if you're out to hire someone for a business, what do you do? What's the first thing you do if you're out to hire someone in any, you own a business?
Interview.
You interview them.
Yeah, of course.
You interview them. What is the big deal? You actually ask them a series of questions. They maybe fill out an interview form, see a resume, you call references. That people don't do that with realtors is crazy making to me.
Well, it is, and I think you've brought in a good point. I think volume and having a number of deals that they've done is important because you have to know that they're successful in this industry.
Very much so.
If you get the stats on their performance, I think that is awesome. Also, we know with a connection with somebody, whether we're connecting with that person or not, if they're going to be the right fit for us. And you said the references. I think that's huge, really being able to have conversations and read reviews of people that they've worked with before. So, Aaron, how does the asymmetry of information and real estate transaction impact the way consumers behave?
Well, I think it goes back to the thing about what the context of what, how people operate. You know, the asymmetry of information is that is the realtor knows more about the business than you do. Now, people, there's Zillow and there's Redfin and there's great resources online. So people are educated to a higher degree than they have been in the past. But still, you don't read WebMD and pretend you're a doctor. You don't read Zillow and pretend you're a realtor. You just don't have the same level of information.
Sure.
So that the realtor knows more about, like that thing I said about overpricing a listing. In the industry, it's called buying a listing. You buy a listing. You say, yeah, sure, I'll sell it for $500. People do that. But the consumer doesn't know that people do that.
Yeah.
The consumer doesn't The consumer doesn't know that the realtor actually stands to make money whether they sell your house or not. True, they won't make money from the commission on your house, but and you will lose money. But they will, they gain mind share and they gain any buyer that calls on your house, calls that sign call.
Sure.
So that's an asymmetry of information that people are unaware of, which would get handled if they interviewed people and they saw because that person took a $500,000 listing. And they sold it for $450,000, they're now selling it under their list price.
Sure.
That would show up in their statistics when you get asked the question, how do your statistics compare to local market averages? They'd have to stop doing that.
Yeah, got it. So, Aaron, a realtor that's in this full-time versus part-time, and I know that, you know, there's a lot of part-time, and it depends on the market that we're in and the environment, whether you have more that are doing part-time than full-time. Talk about the importance of working with an agent that actually is doing this as a full-time career versus just a hobby.
Yeah, well, you got to look to see. You're the one doing the hiring. So do you want to hire a hobbyist or do you want to hire someone who's a professional? It's totally up to you. Look, that person who's a hobbyist, they, you know, they could potentially do fantastic for you, but this is your money and your time. And if they're not selling, I don't know, one house a month, 12 a year, 15 a year, they have to be doing it part-time, and which means they have some other way of making money, which means I would begin to think maybe they're not going to work as hard for it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Aaron, thank you so much for joining me in studio. It was a pleasure having a conversation with you and look forward to having you back.
I look forward to it. Thank you so much, Tina.
Coming up next on The Money Hour, how do you keep and grow wealth in 2017? Michael Chafee with International Business Solutions right here at 1150 AM KKNW after this short break.